This podcast will cover the subject of monotheism and polytheism in ancient Egypt, being two parts from Mustafa Gadallah's book, Egyptian Divinities, The All Who Are the One, second edition. This subject consists of 9 topics.
Topic 1. Monotheism and polytheism. So much has been written, asserted, and repeated about how polytheistic the Egyptian religion was. Yet, it will be a surprise to most that, far from being a primitive, polytheistic form, this is the highest expression of monotheistic mysticism. Moreover, it is as valid now as it was valid then, for the truth is eternal. The word or name God does not by itself tell us anything. To know God is to know the numerous attributes and qualities, powers and actions of God. Likewise, the Egyptians regarded the universe as a conscious act of creation by the one supreme power. The fundamental doctrine was the unity of the deity. This one God was never represented. It is the manifestation of the functions and attributes of the one great God that were represented. Once a reference was made to any of such functions or attributes, it became a distinguishable agent, reflecting this particular function or attribute and its influence on the world. The various functions and attributes were called the Neteru, singular, Neter in the masculine form, and Netert in the feminine form. As such, an Egyptian Neter or Netert was not a god or goddess, but the representation of a function, attribute, or powers of the one God. Far from being a primitive, polytheistic form, this is the highest expression of monotheistic mysticism. In ancient Egyptian traditions, Re, or Ra, represents the primeval, cosmic, creative force. The litany describes Re, or Ra, as the one joined together who comes out of his own members. The ancient Egyptian definition of Re is the perfect representation of the unity that comprises the multitude of the many diverse entities, i.e., the one who is the all. The litany of Re or Ra describes the aspects of the creative principle, being recognized as the Neteru, gods and goddesses, whose actions and interactions in turn created the universe. As such, all the Egyptian Neteru who took part in the creation process are aspects of Re. There are 75 forms or aspects of Re. Re is often incorporated into the names of other Neteru or gods, such as in Amen-Re, Re-Atum, Re-Herakti, etc. The solar energy of the sun is only one of numerous manifestations of Re or Ra. That Re is not just the sun, only a singular form, was also confirmed in the following verse from the story of Re and Isis, in which Re states, I have multitude of names and multitude of forms. Topic 2. Amen Reneth, the indefinable. The deeply religious Egyptians, recognizing that no human being can define the indefinable, believed in the presence of an unlimited, unknowable power that is too majestic to communicate with the created universe. But without this power, no creation can exist. Outside the universe and its cyclical nature is what the Egyptians referred to as Amen Reneth, which is not a name of any entity, but a sentence that means that with unknown essence. In this realm of the unknowable, no words in any terms of human thought could be spoken, and the deeply religious Egyptians never did. They could only convey it by negation of all qualities. The Egyptians would say, whose name is unknown to all Neteru, meaning the forces and energies of the universe, who has no definition, i.e., cannot be defined or described in any human term, who has no image, who has no form, who has no beginning and no end, etc., etc. As such, the ancient Egyptian expression Amen Reneth transcends even the quality of being. Amen Reneth is not the creator or the first cause. All the terms God, creator, master of the universe, first cause, the first, are lower principles and are separate from Amen Reneth. The Egyptians uttered no more of it, and then only under infinite reserve, appealing always to a deep sense behind the words that Amen Reneth is everywhere, in the sense that without its supra-existence, nothing could be. Now, acknowledging Amen Reneth, whose essence is unknown, we can enter the realms of the creation cycles of which we are a part. This chapter consists of 7 topics. Topic 1. In the pre-creation beginning, none, nothingness. Every Egyptian creation text begins with the same basic belief that before the beginning of things, there was a liquidy primeval abyss, everywhere, endless, and without boundaries or directions. Egyptians called this cosmic ocean or watery chaos Nu, Nai, or None, the unpolarized state of matter. Water is formless, and of itself it does not take on any shape, nor does it resist being shaped. It is infinitely receptive. Scientists agree with the ancient Egyptian description of the origin of the universe as being an abyss. Scientists refer to this abyss as neutron soup, where there are neither electrons nor protons, only neutrons forming one huge, extremely dense nucleus. Such chaos in the pre-creation state was caused by the compression of matter, i.e., atoms did not exist in their normal states, but were squeezed so closely together that many atomic nuclei were crowded into a space previously occupied by a single normal atom. Under such conditions, the electrons of these atoms were squeezed out of their orbits and moved about freely, i.e. in a chaotic, degenerate state. This represented the unpolarized state of matter prior to creation. Nu, nigh, or none is the subjective being, the symbol of the unformed, undefined, undifferentiated energy and matter, inert or inactive, the uncreated state before the creation. It cannot be the cause of its transformation. The term infinite, of course, is synonymous with not finite, undefined, unlimited, unshaped, undifferentiated, and so on. This means that the energy and matter out of which all things are formed must be, in its essential state, unformed, undefined, undifferentiated, etc. If the material basis of the world had any essential definitions or formations, these would act as limiting factors to its ability to be transformed infinitely. Its essential lack of definition is an absolute requirement for God's creative omnipotence. Topic 2. Let creation begin. The Big Bang. The condensed energy in the pre-creation neutron soup was continuously building up. This condensed energy reached the optimum concentration of build-up energy that led to its explosion and expansion outwardly, in what we describe as the Big Bang, about 15 billion years ago. The Big Bang was the first physical act of creation. The loud sound of this explosion is what caused the breakup of the constituent parts of the universe. The ancient Egyptian texts likewise repeatedly stressed that the divine commanding voice, meaning the divine sound, was the cause of creation. The earliest recovered ancient Egyptian texts 5,000 years ago show the belief that the word caused the creation of the world. The Egyptian Book of the Coming Forth by Light, wrongly and commonly translated as the Book of the Dead, the oldest written text in the world, states, "I am the Eternal. I am that which created the Word. I am the Word." Topic 3. Atam, the manifested cosmic energy. Creation came out of the state of no creation. The Egyptians called it none. Non, or nil, also represents the pre-creation state of the universe. There is no universe, none, nil, zero. Such a state of the universe represents the subjective being, unformed, undefined, and undifferentiated energy and matter. Its inert energy is inactive. On the other hand, the creation state is orderly, formed, defined, and differentiated. The totality of the divine energy during the creation state is called Atam by the Egyptians. Atam means the oneness of all, the complete. It is connected with the root tam or tamam, meaning to be complete or to make an end of. In ancient Egyptian texts, Atam or Atum means he who completes or perfects. And in the litany of Re, or Ra, Atam or Atum is recognized as the complete one, the all. The ancient Egyptian texts emphasize that the complete one contains all. The ancient Egyptian text reads, I am many of names and many of forms, and my being exists in every netter, in every god and goddess. The seed of creation, out of which everything originated, is Atam. And just as the plant is contained within the seed, so everything that is created in the universe is Atam too. Atam, the one who is the all, as the master of the universe, declares, in the ancient Egyptian papyrus commonly known as the Bremner-Rhind papyrus, when I manifested myself into existence, existence existed. I came into existence in the form of the existent, which came into existence in the first time. Coming into existence according to the mode of existence of the existent, I therefore existed. And it was thus that the existent came into existence. In other words, when the master of the universe came into existence, the whole creation came into existence, because the complete one contains the all. Topic 4. Neteru, the divine energies. As stated above, the ancient Egyptian texts emphasize that the complete one contains all. The ancient Egyptian text reads, I am many of names and many of forms, and my being exists in every netter. The cycle of creation is caused and maintained by the divine forces or energies. These energies, like the perpetual cycle of creation, go through a process of transformation from birth, life, aging, dying, death, and rebirth. We, as human beings, have similar life forces that change throughout our lifetimes. Our human bodies consist of numerous cycles that govern our life existence. All forces die out when we die. The Egyptians called these divine forces Neteru. The main theme of the universe is its cyclical nature. The Neteru, or Neteru, are the forces of Naturi, or nature, which make the world go around, so to speak. To simply call them gods and goddesses gives a false impression. The divine energy that manifests itself in the creation cycle is defined by its constituent energy aspects, which were called Neteru by the ancient Egyptians. In order for creation to exist and to be maintained, this divine energy must be thought of in terms of male and female principles. Therefore, ancient Egyptians expressed the cosmic energy forces in the terms of netert, female principle, and neter, male principle. The Egyptian word neter, or nature, or netya, means a power that is able to generate life and to maintain it when generated. As all parts of creation go through the cycle of birth, life, death, rebirth, so do the driving energies during the stages of this cycle. It is therefore that the ancient Egyptian Neteru, being divine energies, went and continue to go through the same cycle of birth, growth, death, and renewal. Such understanding was common to all, as noted by Plutarch, that the multitude forces of nature, known as Neteru, are born or created, are subject to continuous changes, age and die, and are reborn. We can give the example of the caterpillar that is born, lives, then builds its own cocoon, where it dies, or better yet, transforms into a butterfly who lays eggs, and on and on. What we have here is the cyclical transformation from one form or state of energy to another. Another example is the water cycle. The water evaporates, forming clouds that rain back to earth. It is all an orderly, cyclical transformation of energies in various forms. When you think of Neteru, not as gods and goddesses, but as cosmic energy forces, one can see the ancient Egyptian system as a brilliant representation of the universe. Philosophically, this cyclical natural transformation is applicable to our saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. In scientific circles, this is known as the natural law of conservation of energy, which is described as the principle that energy is never consumed but only changes form, and that the total energy in a physical system, such as the universe, cannot be increased or diminished. Topic 5. The energy matrix of creation. This matrix of energies came as a result of the initial act of creation and the subsequent effects of the Big Bang that created the universe. This matrix consists of an organized hierarchy. Each level of the hierarchy of existence is a theophany, a creation by the consciousness of the level of being above it. The self-contemplation by each stage of existence brings into being each lower stage. As such, the hierarchy of energies is interrelated, and each level is sustained by the level below it. This hierarchy of energies is set neatly into a vast matrix of deeply interfaced natural laws. It is both physical and metaphysical. The ancient and Baladi Egyptians made and make no distinction between a metaphysical state of being and one with a material body. Such a distinction is a mental illusion. We exist on a number of different levels at once, from the most physical to the most metaphysical. Einstein agreed with the same principles. Since Einstein's relativity theory, it has been known and accepted that matter is a form of energy, a coagulation or condensation of energy. As a result, the natural law for the conservation of matter or mass similarly states that matter is neither created nor destroyed during any physical or chemical change. Energy is made up of molecules rotating or vibrating at various rates of speed. In the physical world, molecules rotate at a very slow and constant rate of speed. That is why things appear to be solid to our earthly senses. The slower the speed, the more dense or solid the thing. In the metaphysical or spirit world, the molecules vibrate at a much faster or ethereal dimension, where things are freer and less dense. In this light, the universe is basically a hierarchy of energies at different orders of density. Our senses have some access to the densest form of energy, which is matter. The hierarchy of energies is interrelated, and each level is sustained by the level below it. This hierarchy of energies is set neatly into a vast matrix of deeply interfaced natural laws. It is both physical and metaphysical. The universal energy matrix encompasses the world as a product of a complex system of relationships among people, living and dead, animals, plants, and natural and supernatural phenomena. This rationale is often called animism because of its central premise that all things are animated or energized by life forces. Each minute particle of everything is in constant motion, i.e., energized, as acknowledged in the kinetic theory. In other words, everything is animated or energized. Animals, trees, rocks, birds, even the air, sun, and moon. The faster form of energies, these invisible energies in the universe, are called spirits by many. Spirits or energies are organized at different orders of densities, which relates to the different speeds of molecules. These faster, invisible energies inhabit certain areas or are associated with particular natural phenomena. Spirits or energies exist in family-type groups, i.e., related to each other. Energies may occupy, at will, a more condensed energy or matter, such as human, animal, plant, or any form. The spirit animates the human body at birth and leaves it at death. Sometimes, more than one energy spirit enters a body. We often hear a person is not feeling him or herself, who is temporarily insane, possessed, beside oneself, or one who has multiple personalities. The energies or spirits have an effect on all of us, to one degree or another. The presence of energy in everything was long recognized by the ancient and Baladi Egyptians. That there are cosmic energies or netaru in every stone, mineral, wood, etc., is clearly stated in the Shabaka Stele from the 8th century BCE. And so the netaru entered into their bodies, in the form of every sort of wood, of every sort of mineral, as every sort of clay, as everything which grows upon him, meaning earth. Topic 6. Confusing netaru with other invisible entities. A major confusion exists in Western minds about the various invisible forces in the universe in the Egyptian system. They lumped them all together as gods, and then gave them different ranks, such as a major, a minor, as demons and genies. This is amazing, because all earlier writers of antiquities, such as Diodorus of Sicily, Plutarch, etc., distinguished clearly the various forms of invisible beings in the Egyptian system. Basically, the Netaru, or gods and goddesses, belong to the upper heavenly court, while the other invisible powers that related to earthly activities belong to the lower heavenly court. More details will follow in a later chapter. Topic 7. Netaru and Angels. The Netaru, gods and goddesses, are the representations of the energies, powers and forces which, through their actions and interactions, created, maintained and continue to maintain the universe. The Netaru and their functions were later acknowledged by others as angels. The Song of Moses in Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 43, as found in a cave at Qumran near the Dead Sea, mentions the word gods in the plural. Rejoice, O heavens, with him, and do obeisance to him, ye gods. When the passage is quoted in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, the word gods is substituted with angels of God. The spheres of Netaru, known also as angels and archangels in Christianity, are hierarchical among the levels and realms of the universe.
Thank you for listening to this excerpt from the book Egyptian Divinities, The All Who Are the One, second edition, as authored by Mustafa Gadallah.